This hour, we'll take your calls with Karen Dahlman. How are you coping with COVID? And have you dabbled with the Ouija board? Share a story with us. Something pleasant, something maybe not. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Karen Dahlman with us. Karen, has Hollywood distorted the Ouija boards? I mean, they've come up with some pretty clever movies of evil entities coming through portals of Ouija boards. What do you think?
Yeah, they sure have. They've actually ridden the wave of Ouija superstitions. My good friend Gene Orlando calls them Ouija-stitions. But basically, the Ouija board always has had a negative rap since the beginning. I mean, because we're dealing with death, we're dealing with the mysterious, we're dealing with the unknown, people always have or project their own fears upon that. But yes, Hollywood took it, wrote it, and really did well with it. I mean, my hat's off to them. I salute them for, you know, taking this adrenaline rush that people get when they see something scary or experience something fearful. And they took, by the way, George, one of the most popular items in people's, you know, closets, attics, you know, locked away wherever in their shelves, of a toy that was sold, and by the way, it was considered a toy. It still was sold as a game, although I don't think it's that way. But when in 1966, when it was sold from William Fold Company to Parker Brothers, that year alone, until 1967, it outsold their largest selling game of the time, which was Monopoly. So they took something in 1973 with The Exorcist when the movie came out. The book came out in 71, but when the movie came out in 73, they took something that was really well known and very popular in people's homes. So yes, Hollywood really took it to the next level, but I gotta say, there's always been a negative stigma associated with the board.
Always. Let's take some calls here for you.
But George, on the other hand, always a positive stigma as well. So it goes both ways, but we're talking about the negative right now, right?
What's the positive spin that Hollywood's done?
Oh, well, not so much Hollywood, but I got to tell you, this board has been used since the beginning of the time when it came out. It's been used to communicate with people, their lost loved ones in the time of war, Civil War, World War One, World War Two. It was also used earlier on, the early 1900s, to speak to spirits or ethereal beings or guides or, you know, Jane Roberts was popular this back in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s when she was using the board to talk to Seth, and then she got off the board immediately and started going into more of a meditation to talk to Seth. But I guess a lot of people use it for positive reasons too, to also be able to bring forth messages of hope and clarity for people.
Let's go to the calls. Let us go to Michelle in Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Michelle.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Great to hear from you.
You too. Take it away.
I got a first-time caller. I had a story about the Ouija board. The first time I used it, my sister had lost her retainer. Now, we were teenagers back then.
Yeah.
But my parents hadn't known about it yet and would be very upset because they were expensive. And we decided to use the Ouija board, three of us, actually. My sister, my best friend that I'm still best friends with 44 years later. And I feel like when she explained that it actually pulls, that it did, and it told us it was behind the dresser, and that's where it was.
I see. Now, who is doing the work behind the planchette, Karen?
Well, I think the story Michelle just shared is fabulous. Thank you for calling in, Michelle, and sharing that, because you know what? You can use it for those reasons. A lot of people tell me they use it to find their keys or they find something in the retainer. It's so cool to hear that you found it that way and it told you where it was. Who's doing it? It's like the universe. It's a consciousness. It's sentient beings. It could be your loved ones. It could be a deceased loved one. It could be Source. It could be your angels, your guides. I mean, I've actually heard the voice of Source communicate with me without the board, and I lost something myself. I lost a ring one time, and I was saying, oh my gosh, where's this ring? And I couldn't find it, and finally I heard this voice, seriously, George, outside of my head, that said, look, it's behind the door. Just like Michelle just said, I look in the door and there's this ring. I've been looking for it for a week. And I'm like, who? Where's this voice? And until I start exploring it a lot later, it's like the sound of the universe coming to you. It's the consciousness of what you're connected to saying, this is where you can find it. So, yes, the board can be used for empowering things like what Michelle just shared. That was so cool.
Yeah, a great story. We've got many stories, many calls rolling in for you, Karen. But, I mean, is there anything that could change your mind about the Ouija board?
Come on, George. It's 47 and a half years, almost 48 years. I'm going almost on 50 years, George. That's ridiculous. Do you think anything's going to change? Listen, my life has been fantastic. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed. I mean, yes, I have my ups and downs, but overall it's been great. And I got to tell you, the beings I've met, especially the guides that I've been speaking with since 1994 through the board, they're an aspect of source wisdom that comes through the board. That's who I do my readings through without the board, too. But they've been so positive and uplifting and helping so many people, thousands of people over the years. It's like, come on, it's like this is such a part of my life to be able to communicate on this level.
Let's go to South Boston in Virginia. William, welcome to the show. Hi, William.
Hi, William.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
I had a bad experience. First of all, I love your show. I work second shift. I'm 54 years old. I get off work, and I just sit in my truck and listen to it.
Well, thank you.
And I've been sitting here listening. I had a bad experience when I was 11 years old. I had an older brother. He's 3 years older than I am. His name is Kenneth. And I had a neighbor and my neighbor's cousin. They were all my brother's age. And we got a Ouija board for Christmas. I don't know, remember who gave it to us, but we had a Ouija board. And we went upstairs. All of our parents was downstairs. It was four of us, as far as my brother and my neighbor and my neighbor's cousin. And we were playing with this Ouija board for the first time. Now, I just want to mention that my brother, we all went to church every Sunday, and my brother and my neighbors, they had all gotten saved. I was young. I just, you know, I hadn't gotten quite there yet. You know, I just was just young. I was interested, but I just, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit hadn't called me yet. But anyway, what we did is we played this Ouija board, and it was at Christmas time, and we had a Christmas tree down the hallway. And we told them, the Ouija board, give us a sign. And next thing I know, we hear this loud bust up against the door.
Oh, jeez.
The door was closed. And we opened the door, and there was a Christmas ball that it came off of the tree, come down the hallway, and turned and rammed up against the door, busted up against the door. And we all run downstairs and literally fell. We were running over top of each other, falling down the steps, crying and hollering. And, you know, just telling them that somebody, you know, something busted a ball against the door. And, of course, that messed the whole party up. You know, the parents took the kids home, everything. And I just want to say that my brother's dead, my neighbor's dead, and my neighbor's cousin is dead. They died of very debilitating diseases.
I'm sorry to hear that, William.
I got saved, you know, a few years later, but I was the kid. I was the littlest one, and I went back upstairs the next day. I slept downstairs. I was so scared, and I broke the needle on the mouse. I broke it, you know, because I didn't want that board no more. I knew it was bad.
That was probably a smart decision. Now, Karen, you wouldn't agree with that, would you?
Well, no, I mean, my heart breaks when I hear somebody so sad about their experiences. And I guess this, George, William, thank you for calling and sharing your experience. This is the deal. When we're young, just take the board out of the equation. When things happen to us that we can't explain, it doesn't matter if you're young or even if you're like 20 or 30 or 40, when you can't explain it, you're like looking for answers. How did this happen? What? And so the world is really a magnificent world. There's so many unusual things happening. We might call them miracles. We might call them, how do you explain this? Weird experiences, weird phenomenon, poltergeist activities. The bottom line is there's so many interesting things happening. We just tend to like tether it to what we have as a way to explain it. Like you talked about Daryl and your experience with George, and you tether it to a Ouija board. And this gentleman, they were using a Ouija board and this Christmas ball.
It got very emotional, too.
It got emotional. But, you know, when you're a young child, you don't really have any other way else to explain it. But my heart goes out to anybody that feels sad. Then my heart goes out. And by the way, you broke my heart, too, just hearing you talk, William. So I just want to say bless you. And just know that the board did not cause anybody's death or hardship. But, yes, you might have not understood it at the time.
Let's go to Glenn in the state of Michigan. Hi, Glenn. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I have a positive experience.
Hello.
When I was in high school back in 72, I was 16, and we played with a Ouija board at a party. And it told me I was going to marry a lady named Chris with three kids. And fast forward to when I was 29, met a lady named Chris, three kids, three wonderful kids, and we've been married 37 years.
How about that?
Wow.
All right, Karen, explain that. How does that happen?
Well, listen, I got to tell you, Glenn, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Thanks, Glenn.
It's so fun because I got to tell you, when I was in high school, and I was using the board with a few different girlfriends, and I had a summer party at my house kind of thing. And one of my girlfriends was there, and she said, who am I going to marry? And back then, I was doing things like that, George. Now I just really get, like, personal information or, like, insider revelations or how to, you know, empower yourself. But back then, I was doing, like, okay, whatever you want to ask. She's like, who am I going to marry? And they said, the name's going to start with a K. The last name will start with a B. My girlfriend did marry somebody with the first name starting with a K and last name a B. It happens all the time. It really depends on how you use this tool, how you approach it. If you approach it like, I just want to get insight into something, you're going to tend to get that and not any negativity. So that's awesome, Glenn. You were able to get that because I hear that story a lot of times.
Angela's with us in the state of Wyoming. Welcome to the show, Angie. Go ahead.
Hello.
All right.
So hi there.
I have an absolute negative experience. The Ouija board forecast my sister's death at 15. They said, the Ouija board said she would die at 28, and at 28, my sister died in a car accident.
Jeez. All right, Karen, explain that.
Well, Angela, I'm so sorry to hear this. I mean, it's never good to understand or hear a prediction. Okay, people write to me and tell me the exact same thing. There's predictions. Somebody wrote to me and said, I knew when Mount St. Helens was going to blow. I heard that on a Ouija board. And they had the story, and they shared it with me. People get their death. I've had people tell me about death, too. Listen, we say it's a Ouija board. Could it not have been yourself being able to access your own abilities of premonitions or prophecy? Again, I'm going to say, when I use the board, it's not the board. I'm doing all the work. I'm the one that's able to access these realms. And anybody that uses the board, we just go, oh, it's the board. Put it away. Lock it up. Throw it. Burn it. It's not. It's ourselves. The world is, again, mysterious, and we have ways to tap into this. And when we don't even know we're doing it, we're doing it. So the board didn't predict it. They predicted it. Unfortunately, we can tap into that stuff every now and then, and I'm so sorry you did that, and it was a negative experience for you. It breaks my heart.
Karen, are all the boards laid out the same from the years gone past and today?
You know, it's so fun, George, and this is what got me into collecting about 15 years ago. Look, you need one Ouija board. That's all you need in order to do this work.
Right.
You know, use it as
absolutely
a tool, right? So 15 years ago, I started noticing all the subtle different nuances about the boards throughout the years. I went, wait, that's a Ouija board, but it looks so different. Look how it's changed. So that got me into collecting them. So, yeah, the boards will have different symbols. They might be laid out a little differently. Ouija boards tend to always be A through N, M through Z, two, you know, kind of arced levels of the letters. and then the numbers beneath, and hello, goodbye, yes, no. But other kinds of talking boards can be laid out very differently. You have a psychic circle. I have a lot of boards that are in circles where the letters, the numbers are all in circles, or the numbers and letters are placed differently on the board. So talking boards, spirit boards can be laid out 100% differently. Ouija boards tend to follow a similar pattern, but yet all the features on the board will change, especially the symbolism on them.
Let's go to Joe in Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Hey, Joe.
George, Karen, I'm visually impaired. I understand what you're saying. I have felt like, because I'm very alone because of this COVID, and I'm sorry that, George, you can't go on cruises, and they want everyone to take drugs and or a shot, you know, en masse. Is there any way you could help me? You could do a reading for me? Because I do some emails, but I can't do captions. You know, they have that caption, George, where it says, robot, press this. And
sure.
I can't
do you
this.
Can't do that. You can't see it.
No, and the screen reader won't always read it. Is there any way you could help me? Maybe I can get some good experiences, Karen, because I'm alone and I have no family. I thought I'd call and ask.
Well, and he's blind, Karen, so he obviously can't use the planchette himself.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. A good friend of mine named Rick Schreck, he's a VP of the Talking Board Historical Society, he actually made a board that's made for the blind, visually impaired.
Oh, really?
And yes, it's very fascinating. It's one of a kind. It's a board that actually has the letters and numbers all with the Braille, where every letter is.
Right. Let's ask Joe if he reads Braille. Joe, do you read Braille?
But, Karen, I'm not going to do the board. I'd rather come to you because I don't know anything about it. I wouldn't have any problems like these callers have been having. So I thought, is there a way you could help me? I read some Braille.
Do you do things over the phone, Karen, for people?
I absolutely do. Go to my website. I offer readings.
He's going to have somebody do it. He's blind.
That's right. I do the readings. I do readings off the board and on the board. So go to my website, and anybody can look me up there and sign up for a reading.
Okay. Good luck, Joe. And interesting. Fascinating. The Ouija board. My gosh.
Yeah, a Braille Ouija board. Who knew, right?
Since you've been doing this, and what has been the most satisfying thing for you using the Ouija board?
You know, the most satisfying thing about using the Ouija board is really helping other people to have some kind of closure to a grief, a loss they've had, or to help them understand their own personal empowerment. I'm all about how can we have self-responsibility, take control of our lives, but on a very spiritual level, and realize that we are so much more than we think we are. And we have so many more contacts out there that are sitting there around waiting for us to reach out to them. For example, we all have angels or ethereal beings or spirit guides or our ancestors there, waiting there, just waiting for us to say, hello, help me. And they're there to help guide us, to be with us. I find that we are never alone, and knowing that has been so rewarding to me. And I got to say, George, I'm so honored and blessed to have been able to tap into this group of beings that I call the guides that come through every session, and now they just channel through me directly, and they come through every reading I do, and they help people find their own clarity in their life and to find, like, hope so they can move forward, and especially in these dark times we have right now. You know what I mean? It's just, like, it's tough. So I'm very grateful for that.
Karen's website is her name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast and take some final phone calls with her. Next hour, our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with a great story. And then our last hour of the show tonight, we'll have conversations with Cheryl. And that, of course, will get you into the open line section of the program. So we will be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM with Karen Dahlman. Don't touch your dial. Next hour, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us. She'll be talking with a special guest about dolphins and whales and things going on with telepathy. Looking forward to that. And then, of course, we'll take calls with Cheryl in the last hour of the show. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment with Karen Dahlman and your calls as well. Karen, I want to read you a paragraph and then get your reaction to it. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. This has to do with the original Exorcist story. The story began in January 1949, involving a 13-year-old boy named Robbie who lived with his parents and grandmother in Mount Rainier, Maryland. Some sources indicate that the family actually lived nearby in Cottage City. Possibly authorities wanted to keep the actual place secret to protect the boy. Robbie was very close to his aunt, who visited the family frequently from St. Louis, Missouri. She was a medium and attempted to communicate with the spirit world. Not only did she spark Robbie's interest in this practice, she also taught him how to use the Ouija board. Strange phenomena began happening on January 10, 1949. The family heard scratching on the walls. However, exterminators found no evidence of pests of any kind. Objects moved by themselves. A table would turn over. A chair would move across the room. A vase would fly through the air, and a picture of Christ would shake. At night, Robbie felt scratching in his bed, and he suffered nightmares frequently. After the aunt died suddenly on January 26th, Robbie continued to use the Ouija board to communicate with her and others. The strange phenomena also continued. Moreover, Robbie's disposition changed. He became unsettled, agitated, angry. And then the rest of it is history, as we know from the movie The Exorcist. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I went to the house where that happened, and I took a picture out there. When I was in St. Louis not too long ago, I went and saw the place. So, look, things happen to people. Why do we always say it's the Ouija board? Just because he had a Ouija board in the equation doesn't mean the Ouija board caused it. People draw energies to them and throughout life, whether you're on a board or off a board or doing a seance or not doing a seance. So we always want to attribute. We don't want to take responsibility, or we want to just quickly point blame on something until we really explore what really happened and all the aspects of it. We can't just say it was a Ouija board. You know, they both were dabbling in communicating with other dimensions, other beings, and I have to say, too, there's a lot of people out there don't even believe that the other dimensions even exist. But what can happen is your belief system can force you and influence you to start believing or behaving like you're influenced by another element, and that'd be like automatism or hypnosis. So I'm not here to say it's real or wrong or right or whatever. I'm just here to say there could be other logical explanations to what happened. But what gets me is that we always want to say, because a Ouija board was involved, or they used the Ouija board, the Ouija board's in the house, that's what caused it. I want to say, people, we are so much more powerful than that. We're beyond any little piece of board and cardboard once again.
I would think the Catholic Church condemns the use of the Ouija boards. What do you say?
Well, I will say this. I was born and raised a Catholic. When I got my Ouija board on Christmas Day, I went and attended Catholic Mass, and actually very devout. I went through catechism and all the
You did it all. You did it all, yeah.
Confirmation, absolutely did it all. Baptism, all that stuff. So I would say, they would just say, you're not supposed to talk to spirits. That's what a lot of religions say. I'm here to say, you know what? There's so much more out there. Why not reach out to it? Because there's so many very beautiful, loving energies that are out there waiting to have your contact and support you.
Back to the phones. Let's go east of the Rockies. Vicky in St. Louis. Vicky, are you my Nighthawk, Vicky?
That's me.
Hello there.
Hi, Vicky.
We're going on 19 years doing this show now, Vicky. Can you believe it?
No, and congratulations. I tried to call that night, but I couldn't get through. Congratulations.
Thank you, Vicky. Vicky, Karen was one of my regular callers for my local Nighthawk show, and here she is. Go ahead, Vicky.
Absolutely amazing. I love it.
I was just going to say about the Ouija board is the same as the serpent, really. To me, it's been something that was positive that's turned negative, because there's a book, George, called The Serpent Grail by Philip Gardner and Gary Osborne.
Right, right.
That's really a good book. That's really good. But anyway, I have a Ouija board story for you, Karen, George.
Awesome.
On my mom's birthday, we were down at my mom's house. This was about 10 years ago. And my brother got the Ouija board out. And my mom had, you know, she was real upset because my brother had passed a few months before when he was about 40 years old. And she wanted closure, I think, and she got on the Ouija board, and she goes, oh, I don't believe this thing really works. And we said, well, just try it, Mom. So she put her fingers on there, and she closed her eyes, and it actually started moving.
Wow.
And it went first down to the goodbye, then up to the number four, then over to the letter U. And we all went, Mom, it's saying goodbye for you. And she said, oh, she said, she kind of started crying. She said, oh, my God, that's the last thing I told them before they closed the casket. I never got to tell you goodbye, Steve. Isn't that amazing?
That's a great story, Vicki.
Wow.
It's really something.
It works.
I think it gave her closure.
How are you doing in St. Louis, Vicki? I'm here now, by the way.
I know you're here. I'm doing great. And I still want to see you, George, and show you my aura picture. You got to see it.
We got to do that. And once COVID goes away, we're probably going to have another live show in St. Louis. You got to come out there.
I'm definitely going to be there.
Okay, Vicki, you take care. I've got all these old great listeners from my Nighthawk days. When I did my local show and I filled in for Art Bell coming out of the radio station. Small world, Karen, isn't it?
I love it. I love that they still follow you. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it really is.
I love Vicki's story. That's beautiful. That's the reason why I love to use this tool or just do this work outside the tool, because it does help people get closure when you can tap into the other realm. That's lovely.
Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Annie.
Thank you. Thank you, George, for taking my call.
You are welcome. Annie, by the way, is the inventor of the planchette, Karen. I don't know if you knew that or not. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no, it's the opposite. It is the opposite. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to have the Ouija board in the studio for it to destroy your life and for it to cause your relatives to die from a radio jumping in the tub. That radio was nowhere near that tub. That thing flew across the room into that
tub. Well, I don't know, Annie. Nobody was there but her.
More sense than to put it right up there where it would fall in. She was a doctor. She had a lot of sense. She wouldn't have done that.
I know it.
Just having them on the show, George, talking about it is enough. It can destroy your life. It can destroy everything. The people that listen and feed into it, it can destroy all of our lives. 9 people out of 10 have called in and said it was negative. I wouldn't have anything like that on a show, George.
Remember when I canceled my Ouija board show? Karen, this was before you started coming on as a guest. But I had the late Rosemary Ellen Guiley, whom you knew, and Dr. Bruce Goldberg and Jordan Maxwell. And one wanted us to do it, one didn't, and one was right down the middle of the road. But I canceled the show because I was getting emails from people saying, you know, we're having a pizza party here, can't wait for the Ouija board show to start. And I just, I don't know, something hit me that said, just don't do it. Just don't do it. There could be one person out there who takes this really seriously and something could happen to them. So I backed off on that. Now the pizza party people went nuts. They claimed that I ruined their party. Daniel,
I was listening to that show, George.
You remember that?
What happened? I absolutely do, and I had spoke to Rosemary about that afterwards, and she was really disappointed. But you've got to remember, you did have a poll we did on your show, and it was like 51% were more positive to the Ouija board, where 49% weren't.
It was close.
So you almost have a split audience on this, which is expected. It's really expected. But I got to disagree with Annie on this. Tonight we've had just as many positive calls come in as more negative calls. And I've got to say, the Ouija board is just, if you start blaming the Ouija board for everything that's happened in your life, you're not taking responsibility for what you are empowered to do yourself. We can tap into all these dimensions. The board is nothing. It's just, throw it away. You know, it's just like, again, a piece of board. We have got to quit projecting our fears upon this tool. It's ourselves. It's ourselves that do this entrance and ability to communicate.
And she was making reference of my late aunt, who was a medical psychiatrist who devoted her practice to investigate telepathy, precognition, psychokinesis.
Mm-hmm.
And she died in the tub when a radio fell in the tub and she got electrocuted.
Yes.
Horrible
yes,
story.
That's horrible.
Horrible.
I did hear about that. That's terrible.
It would have been even worse if she were listening to my show.
Yes.
Truly.
It would have been.
Next up, let's go to Daniel in Wichita, Kansas. Hey, Daniel. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Daniel.
God bless you both. I'm a recluse man. I have depression, and I tried to call you several times on Ouija board. I experienced a Ouija board when I was young, and I was honored enough to be on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And a holy man, plus he had converted to Catholicism, and he told me this. He said, you get exactly what you want to get out of it. He said, time is neither past or future. It's all present. And he discouraged me from using it. And he said, if you do, put tobacco on the east and west borders of the Ouija board, a crucifix and holy water on the north and south.
Interesting. What do you think of that, Karen?
I think that's very interesting. And by the way, Daniel, I'm also from Wichita, Kansas. That's where I was born.
Oh, were you, Karen?
So,
okay, I didn't know that.
Absolutely. So I know you didn't know that. So that's what I have affinity towards that. So thank you for calling in. It's like represent my home state, you know, Sunflower State.
You're a Wichita lineman. Glenn Campbell song, wasn't it?
Oh, I love Glenn. Yes, I love Glenn Campbell. Bless his heart. So listen, Daniel, I think you're absolutely 100% onto something, and so was your parishioner when he said you're going to get what you intend out of it. That's exactly right. What we believe is what we're going to conceive and receive through this tool, and any tool for that matter. So if you expect to have this negativity, you will. Now, yes, you can do things if you want to talk about protection or things people can do to augment that or to support their beliefs. You know, that's all good. But, yeah, I'm with you. You're going to get what you expect. You're going to get what you expect.
Thanks, Daniel, for your call. Rand is with us in Sandpoint, Idaho. Hi, Rand. Good morning.
Hi, Rand.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to share with you that I'm a teacher, and I consider your program tonight a spiritual validation of the path I take forward in the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to trivialize or be disrespectful to any loved ones who have lost people, nor to those who have had a negative experience with the Ouija. But I don't want to be redundant, but like your last caller, I believe the Ouija will only give you what you put into it. And the same way forward, you folks tonight are leading by example. You have different opinions, but yet you're talking about something. You're learning. You're teaching people. You're moving forward on it in a positive way. And again, I don't want to trivialize it, but with the pandemic, I try to do the same thing with my students. I say, ask people kindly, listen to them, try to move forward in a difficult time. And I believe it's the same thing with the Ouija. You and your guests are sitting there, and you obviously have different opinions, but yet you're respectfully listening to one another and asking questions and looking for the positive, powerful side. And I think that we can do that with anything. The Ouija only has the power that we give it, because the pandemic only has the power that we give it. We can move forward in a positive and powerful way. And I thank you for that, because like I say, this is a validation of what I believe and what I try to teach.
I would have loved to have had you as a teacher, Rand. You would have been fun.
It'd be fun. I do that with my students, and I tell them, you take responsibility, and you can move forward through this. We will come out better on the other side. There are a lot of differing opinions, and what we must not do is allow those different opinions to divide us. We have to come together. And you're doing it right here on your show tonight. I'm listening to this, and I'm going, wow, this is powerful. I've gotten a message through this by listening to this. And people could say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's crazy. But you know what? It's true. And I just want you to know how much it means as a teacher.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Karen, go ahead. I'll let you react to that.
I'm just going to say amen, Rand. I mean, exactly. I mean, this is what we're doing. George and I come from a whole different perspective. People calling in, they may align, they may not. It's totally cool. Thank you for noticing that, Rand, because that's my whole message. We can come together, have a conversation. I'm not here to convince anybody otherwise. George isn't either. But we're going to be able to hear everybody. Everybody can have their story, and we can have opinions. And we don't have to agree. We can agree to disagree, and that would bring the world together more. That would bring our country together, say, it's okay to be on different sides. We're still the same people. We're still the same of humanity. We bleed. We live. We die. We experience life. We cherish things. We rejoice. We have hardships. And guess what? We are all humans. And so, Rand, thank you so much for bringing that together so beautifully for us.
Karen, I want to thank you again. You keep in touch with us. And what's your next project?
Oh, my gosh, I got so many things online, George. Everything's been canceled because of what's going on, but I have all kinds of events coming up. So I have something coming up in May and the summer and Michigan Paracon, Sage Paracon, all kinds of things. So just come check me out on my website, join my newsletter, join me on YouTube. And, George, it's a pleasure to be here. And you know what? I love the Coast audience.
They're the best. Thank you. Karen Dahlman, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us. And then in our last hour, open lines with Cheryl Jones.